welcome to another episode of GT Radio Conversations with Tino. And today I have an absolutely fantastic person who's also a friend on the show, Jackie Marks. Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. I'm excited. Excited to be on
the
show.
Yeah, this is
going to
be great. Yeah. So, Jackie, where did you grow up? What kind of environment and, what part of the world did you grow up in?
Well, I'm a Midwest girl. I grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota. It comes out when I say Dakota. Most people can hear that in my accent, I guess. And, I went to the University of South Dakota. I grew up there in the Midwest.
Yeah, it was really, really beautiful landscape up there, isn't it?
Yeah, I grew up probably about an hour from five national parks by Mount Rushmore. So
wow.
It was the tourism industry is just huge up there. So it's a beautiful place. It's prettier in the summer. Some winter time, it gets a little cold.
Yeah, as we know, it gets just a tad bit cold. Well, I'm from Toronto, so I know what you're talking about. What were your parents like? I know your dad had a construction company, right?
Yeah, my dad had a construction company, and my mom taught school, and she ran all their businesses, like their rental properties and stuff. And my parents are pretty outgoing people. I would say they're extremely hospitable, if I had to describe them. You know, we always had company or people stopping by the house. They love to entertain. So, you know, that's kind of how I grew up is people always coming over, and we celebrated every holiday, you know, kind of any excuse to have a party or have people over to the house.
Yeah, so they were it was almost like getting a mirror of later in life what you were going to be doing anyways is being, you know, in hospitality. They were very hospitable people, right?
Yeah, they were very hospitable. I mean, that's just – a lot of people are there, though. You know, they just welcome people into their homes. And we had company all
the
time, which sounds crazy, I guess, to other people. But people stopped by, like, every night on their way home from work, and it was kind of normal for us.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. I know my wife's from Michigan, so I know exactly what that's like. What were the lessons, some of the things that you learned from your family? You know, what are some of the things that continue to use all the time?
You know, I think now that I'm adult, I realize how very lucky I was to grow up in the home I did. I mean, my family laughed a lot and gave each other a hard time, but I think we really learned to have all of us kids learn to have a really good work ethic because that was just ingrained into us right from the beginning. And I think people from the Midwest in general, just that's part of life there. You grow up, you know, learning how to work hard. And I think the other thing is probably I learned not to make excuses. That was huge. You just have to do your best. You know, they said get the work done and keep moving forward. And so I guess what that really meant was, you know, if you incur challenges or you get knocked down a few times, which, you know, everybody does sometime in their career, it's just important how you keep getting back up, you know, and how you try to learn from those experiences, but just keep moving forward.
Interesting. That's a good philosophy.
You know, the other thing I think my parents really, that I was grateful for, they didn't make me scared to try new things. I mean, they were very encouraging. So they, you know, I remember the first time I moved away from home, they were like, hey, you know, you're just a few hours away by a plane ride. They're, you know, and they made me feel very comfortable about taking on new challenges. And they never made me feel, you know, scared to try anything new. So I really appreciated that, you know, things that I look back on.
Yeah, so they taught you, in a sense, to be fearless with certain things, right?
Yeah, you know, they said just do your best. You know, that's all you can do is do your best. And if you fall down a couple times, just learn from it and get back up.
Yeah.
And I think that's you know, a good lesson. It's come in handy, put it that way.
Now you've been in gaming quite a few years, and you started in commercial gaming. Tell us a little bit about how you got the job and what was that like? Because I know that in those days, people used to take the bus for a couple of days to get to the casino, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm getting older. I have to admit, when I start looking at the resume here, you know, my first gaming experience though was as a marketing director in Deadwood, South Dakota. And that was like in 1992, I believe. It's a Silverado. And
wow.
And we were the first, I think, to have limited stakes gaming after Atlantic City. Yeah. And that was before tribal gaming. So that was, you know, it was in the old west town of Deadwood.
Wow. It's incredible. Yeah. So what was that experience like? Tell us a little bit about
Deadwood. You know, it was fun. I went from being the executive director of March of Dimes from Western South Dakota, where, you know, I was constantly asking people for money, and then I went to gaming, and that was just a whole new experience, and I loved it. It was exciting.
How did that happen, the opportunity?
Well, I got lucky, to be honest with you. I had a lady in the business that she had an ad agency, and I had been using that ad agency while I was the director of March of Dimes and Walk America. She was a sponsor of that. And when that experience was over, I gave her my resume, and because I wanted to get more experience in advertising and promotions, special events, all that. And she held on to my resume, and I went in for an interview. And while I was in the interview, I realized, okay, I'm not getting this job because I'm straight out of college, right? And I read, she took a phone call, and I saw this other resume laying on her desk with this guy with tons of experience. And I thought, okay, I'm not getting this, but I want to get, you know, do really good in my interview anyway. And after the interview, she ultimately gave this other guy the job. Ironically, he didn't last long, but she gave the other person that I saw his resume the interview, the job. And then I guess she had a client that was the Silverado Casino, and they had called her for a bunch of resumes. So she gave them all the other resumes, but she held on to mine. You know, meantime, I was probably eating ramen noodles. Yeah, she held on to mine. Yeah, you know, living in the one-bedroom apartment, eating ramen noodles, and she held on to it because she said she was going to hire me later when she landed this other client. Well, the casino said, hey, you know, you've got to have one more marketing person out there. You're probably holding out. And I think she felt guilty, so then she gave him my resume. And I went there and got interviewed, and during the interview, I thought, oh, man, I don't have this job, because the general manager got up like three times to take phone calls during my interview. And later, later, you know, I found out. I didn't know. Yeah, this was my first interview, you know, and he's taking phone calls. You know, later we laughed about it because he said, you know, I thought I already knew I was going to hire you before the interview. But, boy, I was sweating it out. And so that was my first marketing director job. That's how I got the job.
How was that experience? How was that experience for you? How long were you there for, and how was that experience for you? What did you like about the business?
That's probably about 6 years. I loved the business. I mean, I loved every part of it because I loved advertising, promotions, you know, special events. I liked negotiating contracts for sponsorships. And then at that time, busing, you had brought that up earlier, busing was huge. So I had coordinators in Canada. I had them, you know, in Montana, Wyoming, the other side of South Dakota, Iowa, North Dakota. They were just all over. And, you know, that's when people would ride on a bus for 2 days to come to play at your casino. You know?
Right, because there was no gaming.
Yeah, you know, you give them a roll of quarters, hotel, let them eat in your prime rib buffet, and you're set. So we had a huge busing program.
Yeah.
Yep. That. until Tribal Gaming, those buses rolled in. And I actually remember, I remember when the Isle of Capri opened up in Iowa, and I eventually ended up working for them. But I remember when they opened up, because right then my Iowa market dried up. And I'm like, oh, what happened, you know? And it was just because other casinos started popping up all over, and that busing market started to shrink. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Amazing times. Jackie, let me ask you a little bit. How was it working as a woman in the business back then? I'm sure you were the only woman at the table usually, especially, you know, in those days when there were gaming had really proliferated as it has now. How was it for you? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I would say, I mean, it was exciting, of course, like I said, but there were definitely more men than women. I was usually the only, at the properties I worked at anyway, I was usually the only female on the management team, or at least starting out that way. And, you know, at times it took just a little bit more, I guess, finesse to make sure your voice was heard, but so you weren't alienating any others, though. So, you know, just I guess as the years went on, I learned how to kind of navigate those roads. But I thought I learned a lot. And I think just being in gaming in general, I've learned to get, as my mom would say, just get a little bit tougher. I've gotten a little bit tougher through the years.
Right, right. Get a thicker skin, right?
Just a little bit, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What would you tell young women coming up in the business?
I guess I would tell them to find out what their strengths are, and then in that same thought, you know, what they need to improve upon, and then tell them to just go look for opportunities to expand their knowledge in different areas of the industry, you know, and ask to be invited to meetings, ask to take on projects. You know, that's how they're going to learn. And don't be afraid of it. If they're not good at something, that's really, you know, try and dive in and learn a little bit about it, at least. You know, and I guess the other thing I would probably try and tell them is not to be afraid to surround themselves with good people. You know, people that may be different from themselves, different strengths. You know, like, I always try and encourage people that, or hire people that have different strengths than myself. I don't need, you know, another clone of me.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. Right.
Yeah.
That's a big factor for you, right?
Right. Because you already have one of you. You don't need another one, you know? I think you need to hire people that are different than you so you can bounce off ideas. They have different strengths than you do. And so not everybody's perfect at everything. And I think if you have a well-rounded team, that helps you.
I guess it sure does.
Probably, finally, the other thing that I would do is just encourage them to be a mentor, you know, not only to women, but to be a mentor to other men and women, both, you know, alike. I think sometimes people forget how important that is because they need to share their skill set. I think some people are afraid, especially early on in their career, with their job security. If they think if they show someone else how to do something, it's you know, it's going to affect their job security. Mm-hmm. But I also think if the manager is confident in their own ability, they kind of have an obligation as a leader to develop their team. And that will, in turn, help them grow. And I think I would tell someone new in the business, you know, not to be scared of that. Encourage other people to move up in the industry as well.
Right, yeah. Be a conduit. Pass it on. Pass it forward, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think when when you have new people come onto your team too, you know, you have new ideas, new thoughts. You have a whole new, it re-energizes the team. You have a new dynamics. So...
Yeah, collaboration.
Mhm.
How do you deal with some of the deadlines and pressure of the business? You know, how do you balance all that?
How do you balance all that? Honestly, I don't know if I do balance everything all the time. I mean, there's a lot of times, you know, work comes first, and I'm working a lot of hours. You know, when you need to be at a particular event or there's just a lot going on. So I don't think I always balance. You always hear that you have to have this perfect work-life balance, but I don't always have that. I mean, sometimes business takes over, other times family takes over. I mean, as far as work goes, I just try and remember, you know, we're in the entertainment industry, and what we do is supposed to be fun. So when things get a little stressful or tense at work, we have a tendency to laugh a lot and just kind of remember we're in the entertainment industry because, you know, I have friends that work in the healthcare industry, and I'm telling you, no one's dying on the table here. It's not usually a life or death situation. It's just more challenges, you know? But
yeah.
But I think on the flip side, family, I do try and be there for the really important stuff. But that doesn't mean it always, you know, it's always easy. You know, I remember like when the boys were little and they were in T-ball, I was zooming there to get there after work, you know, and I'm trying to help the boys run around the bases with high heels on and a suit and dirt everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
That's just part of it. I think you do what you can, you know, and it's not always easy, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah. And like you said, it may not be perfect. It may not be the true balance that you want. But you go back to what you were saying before, that your parents, you do the best you can, right?
Right. And, you know, I think it's just you try and be there for the really important stuff, you know. And the other thing I guess I had to learn pretty early on in my career was is I had to learn how to delegate and what to delegate instead of trying to do every single thing myself.
Yeah.
And I found out
if
I was going to work, move up or go to a bigger property, that I had to let go of some stuff.
Yeah, you can micromanage and do it all yourself.
Right. But, you know, I think, like, with my family, I think they know that if they need me, I will always be there. But, you know, I kind of feel the same way about my staff. If they know that they really need me, I think they know that I'll be there, you know, some way.
Right.
Or
it's a good way to put it. Right. So if push comes to shove, you have to come in, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's just the way it
and
is, yeah.
And anybody in our business knows that. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 job. But so
no.
And some people can say that's a huge disadvantage, but there's also a lot of advantages to what we do. You know,
yeah.
Every day is different. It's fun. It's exciting. I've met a lot of people that have, you know, especially in marketing and gaming, say, I got to get out of the business. It's hectic. It's too hard. It's stressful. It's, you know, but they always end up coming back to gaming because they get so bored outside the industry because it's not changing and it's, you know, it's more like time to make the donuts, and it's monotonous and boring, and they don't, you know, when they come back, they like the excitement of it all. So I guess there's advantages and disadvantages of being in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. True, there's no 2 days that are similar. No question about that. That's for sure. You want variety, you get into the right business. Who are some of the people that influenced your career? And why did they influence, you know, what was it, what they said, how they trained you? What was it?
Well, I guess when I think back, I guess I would say Sherry Bain. She was the lady that owned that ad agency that I told you about in South Dakota.
Yeah.
She was a media.
Yeah.
She had an agency, and she had she was working with casinos, so I learned from her. And she was a media buyer.
What stood out from her? I know that you'd talked to me about it before, She was pretty remarkable, right?
Yeah, she was. I mean, she was pretty dynamic, and I think I learned from her a lot of the finesse. I mean, she was able to work a room, and she got the job done. She's a very classy lady, but somehow she made sure that her opinions and her thoughts were communicated. And so, you know, I'm thankful for her because she got me in the gaming business. And then, in that same tone, I guess I would have to thank my first general manager, Mike Rodman. He's actually in Deadwood now, the head of the Historic Gaming Commission there. But he is, he helped me learn in the business as well. He was my first general manager. And so he gave me the opportunity to, like, create the busing program and build the marketing department up there from scratch and to start like their first players club card and, you know, all that because they're on the floor promotion because that, you know, I was able to learn by just doing it, I guess, and kind of being thrown in the deep end and figuring it out. And then like years later, I would say Tom Osecki, he was the vice president of marketing at the Isle of Capri Casino. He put me in a program. At first it was called Best of the Best, and then I think they changed the name to Micros Program. But it allowed me to train in every area of the casino. So I was able to train in the cage and hard count, soft count. You know, I was able to train in table games, slots, food and beverage. And I think I like to say that particular program helped me grow up in gaming, because it really allowed me to further my knowledge and skill set, I guess. And, you know, they gave us finance classes and up until that, it was a great opportunity in leadership classes, because until that time, you know, really all my experience was strictly marketing. And I never really saw the operations side of the business in detail like I had a chance to through that program.
That's incredible. That was a good program, right?
Yeah, it was a terrific program, you know? And I felt fortunate that there was like 12 of us, I think, who were able to do that the year that it started anyway. And we kind of knew it was a great program because everybody, and the same thing for the ops guys, they were able to see other areas that they had never gotten to see either. And then I guess I would have to see Carol Molnar. She has her own direct mail agency, and she had also worked at some of the top agencies as far as ad agencies go in New York. And I worked with her at the Isle of Capri, and she taught me like all the intricacies about database analytics, and that's so important, you know, in our industry right now. And I felt like I got to learn from the best because she had worked in gaming for a number of years in Atlantic City and had all that background, and also with credit card companies, and she knew advertising, she knew database. So I felt like, you know, she really helped me. And as far as a mentor goes, she also had two little boys like I did. So it was easy to relate to on a personal level too. She understood about trying to balance everything as well.
Wow, that's great. That was another angle with her, right?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, really, I guess I have to say my most important mentor was my mom, because she just seemed to balance everything, you know? She always seemed to handle everything with, like, class and humor all the time. And still to this day, I have no idea how she did all that, you know? For us kids, she was always there. She was always there every basketball game, every football game, everything we did, plus running their businesses and then keeping a great house and having people over and, you know, always having, like, I don't remember, you know, baskets of laundry sitting all over or anything like that. So I truly don't know how she did it all, but that's, I guess, something for me to always strive for.
Yeah, pretty amazing generation, I got to tell you. That's for sure. I mean, my parents were the same way, so you know, I think we all have to tip our hats. And they were very, there were people that grew up on very little and also appreciated mm-hmm. everything they had. You know, there was no, it didn't really go beyond that. Amazing generation. Tell us little bit where we are now in gaming and where we're headed 10, 15 years. And what are the things that could create issues?
You know, I think the gaming business right now, it's just a really exciting, interesting time. There's so much new technology out there, and it's changing so quickly, you know, whether that be like the facial recognition programs or, you know, if in the future, if you can use your cell phone for your Players Club card. There's just so much that's changing in the industry. But I also think, you know, about people are also looking outside of gaming, you know, these huge multi-entertainment centers with complexes so that has something for everyone in the family, you know, that's hitting every demographic. So even though they make the majority of their money in the casino, obviously, they're getting kind of that whole family unit to come out, whether that be through the movie theaters or the bowling alleys or, you know, all the other amenities that they have. But I do think the Players Club programs, you know, will just continue at a rapid pace to develop in the future. I do, with all this technology coming out.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what's happened with the technology. And it goes right into the whole idea of data and data analytics, like you were talking about. Tell me a little bit about, you know, you've worked both in native and commercial gaming. Talk to me a little bit about the difference and which one you like better than the other, if that's the case.
Well, in some ways they're really quite similar, except in tribal gaming, I guess you don't really, your tribe is your stockholders that you have to report to. And you don't have a corporate office that you can call and rely upon for, you know, sometimes there's corporate programs coming out or new ideas or anything. You have to pretty much rely on yourself as far as marketing departments with tribal gaming. And I also look at tribal gaming kind of as more of a family-owned business. And as far as what do I like better, I guess I think there's advantages and disadvantages to both. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still gaming, and what you bring to the bottom line is key on, you know, whether it's tribal or commercial gaming. So I just feel fortunate that I've had experience in both, because I think both gave me good opportunities and were able to look at things in a little bit different way. So I would say I don't have a favorite. I can't think of a favorite right now, actually.
Yeah, you got something from both, like you said. It rounded out your education.
Well, yeah, I really do feel that way. Yeah, I feel that way. And by having, you know, I did commercial gaming first and then tribal gaming after that. And so I do feel it gave me different perspective and having both.
Yeah, it's good, and it's well-rounded. Well, this has been amazing. Should we take some calls?
Oh, sure.
All right, let's do it. We got a lot of people lined up here that want to talk to you.
Well, that's kind of scary. I don't know.
Hello.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Hello. We have Jackie here. Who's this?
Steve Neely.
Oh, hi, Steve.
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. Good to hear you, buddy.
You too.
Good to hear you.
I've known Jackie a long time. Her and I actually spent some time at Isle of Capri together back in the day.
Wow.
We've crisscrossed paths a number of times, haven't we, Steve?
We definitely have. And it was interesting listening to you talk about, you know, kind of the the benefits and, you know, the challenges of corporate and tribal. And yeah, I reflect on the time that I spent it with the Isle of Capri, and a lot of the just fundamental tools that they gave us to work with. And I'm curious if, you know, whether it was the Isle or some of the other corporations, if you've had any real success being able to bring some of those things into tribal country, or how were you received whenever you tried to bring some of that stuff in, and you know, was it positive, negative, or did it not go anywhere for you?
I think for the most part it's been positive. I'm not saying that they've taken every idea and ran with it,
yeah.
But for the most part, I think it has been positive. And also just the resources. Well, you know this, Steve. I mean, when you have a big corporate office, you have more resources, you know, and sometimes corporate pays for, and budgets, because sometimes corporate pays for a lot of that you're given, you know, or they divide up the cost between a number of properties. And when you're just at one property, you have to manage that.
Yeah, I was going to say, corporate doesn't pay for anything, but, you know.
Yeah. You end up, it hits you somewhere along the line.
Yeah. No, I mainly just wanted to call and say hi, and good to hear you. I hope you're doing well. And nice to hear you.
California.
It's great. Yeah. I'm keeping Jeff very busy.
Yeah,
that's
Steve
good.
Just hired, I should tell you, Tito, Steve just hired, was my database manager, but Jeff Jantz, who's now his marketing director. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, he learned a lot from you along the way as well. So thank you for your help in getting him ready.
Oh, you're welcome, Steve. You're welcome. Oh, good hearing from you.
You too. Have a great show.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it.
You bet.
Take care. Bye-bye. Steve's a good guy.
Yeah, he's great. And
we've all
we
known
have.
Him.
It's funny.
Yeah, we've all known.
We've kind of crisscrossed paths for a number of years. And,
no.
Yeah, and he worked in this market as well. I believe Sandia and Isleta.
Yep.
So he knows the New Mexico market as well.
He does. Yep. He's a great guy. Let's take another call. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Jackie?
Hey, nice listening to you guys today and really enjoying the conversation. I loved when you talked about how your parents taught you about getting back up when you make a mistake, and really hit home. I taught my children the same thing. I learned, a long time ago, I was in a program through Circus Circus, and one of the examples I used was Edison. Thomas Edison had like 140 light bulbs that were not functional. They were mistakes, you know, but he didn't give up. He kept on going, and it certainly changed the world, you know. The other thing that you mentioned that I really liked was talking about that there was always something new to learn, and I'm just wondering how – you touched on it a little bit, but how are you adapting to the constant changes right now in technology and communication methods specifically?
Well, you know, it's moving so fast. It's just trying to keep knowledgeable, I guess, on all the new tools that are out there. You know, and how you can use them. And I think the challenge is, how much of our resources do we put into this and how much do we put into that? And you know, where are we going to actually be able to show a return on investment? But I think part of it is just getting outside of, especially in tribal gaming, your bubble. And being able to see what's coming at you, what's out there, and what other properties are doing,
how
can you do that in your business?
How do you find the time to stay abreast of what's going on? I mean, do you have a particular method, or do you make sure that you go to as many trade shows? Or
no, I don't. I guess I don't have a particular method. I really do try and I think. to keep learning is trying to go to training and doing some research on your own and trying to keep up also through other industry people. I think, you know, gaming is such a small world. It's kind of like we talked about before, that everybody kind of knows each other. And so I think also networking, and you can learn from other people in the industry, and if they're trying it at their property and if it works or hasn't worked, they're, you know. And I think also vendors, you can learn from vendors, because a lot of times they're the ones bringing in this new stuff and they may show you the product, but as a marketing person, you have to figure out how you can use that product and how you can make it work for you and or your business. Or if you can't, you know, if you can't show profit, then sometimes.
Is there anything in particular that like really excited you, like when you heard about it?
I think it's exciting just even, you know, some of that stuff with the facial recognition or being able to use your Players Club card or your cell phone as your Players Club card, you know. I know they're doing, like, voice recognition stuff and gesture control and, you know, they're doing really cool things like with amazing graphics and, you know, virtual reality stuff and just, I think all of it. It's just, I think trying to figure out what's practical and what you can bring to your business and actually use right now and how you can show a profit margin on that. Because that's, you know, usually if you bring in some new technology, they want to know what's it gonna bring to the bottom line.
Sure. You know, I was looking at your resume on LinkedIn to try to get a sense of your background, and it seems like our paths had to have crossed.
what's your name again, sir?
My name is Vince Manfredi. We would have met through Acres or IGT. I know I pitched.
Okay.
Isla Capri and some of the other places. And I also did a gig at Deadwood a couple years back.
Oh, you did.
But you were long. Yeah, you
were
long.
Where were you
gone.
In Deadwood?
I was working with I hate to use the term anymore, the ISIS properties there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a few years back. But anyway, I mean, when I started, that we had nothing. We had no systems. We had no data. We didn't, you know. And the world that we're in right now has certainly morphed quite a bit in those years.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I remember my first Players Club program. I mean, the very first one, while we were waiting for our actual system to be developed, was just the cashier's cage. And when people went up and bought a roll of quarters, we tracked that to try and, you know, develop some kind of analytics on our players. Sounds like it's from the Stone Age. I'm sure everybody's laughing, going, oh, my God, this lady's 100 years old. But, you know, that's what we did. We just to start it.
Yeah, to track sales. I mean, that was something. It's better than nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I remember at one property I worked at, and I'll get off the line, I know, Tino, but I worked at Excalibur.
Take your time.
We printed Excalibucks and we gave them to all the change people in the carousels, and we just told them that, you know, when somebody hits a jackpot over X, give them an Excalibuck, and those, they were basically dollars that could be used throughout the property. But I mean, we tried to control them. We, you know, we had each one was numbered and everybody had theirs numbered and had, but there was really no control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember, and I remember printing coupons for prime rib buffets and, you know, yeah, and all those, you know, busing coupons, and then
yep.
People always found a way to somehow get a hold of them, you know. It's kind of like now, if you have a program, there's going to be someone who finds a way to try and get more than they should.
Right, you always try to stay a half a step ahead of those folks, right?
Right,
yeah,
that's
right.
Always the name of the game.
Well, anyway, I've enjoyed this very much. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Okay, thank you, and hopefully
at
trade show or something, please come up and introduce yourself. I'm sure we've met before.
I know we have. I've been at every single property, I think, that you've worked at. All righty, take care.
Okay, thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Vince. Thanks for calling in. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye-bye. Great people.
Yeah.
It's funny that you never ran into them. Yeah.
Well, who knows, you know.
All right, take the next one. Hello, this is Tino Magnano from GT Radio. Do you have a question for Jackie?
Jackie, could you comment just a bit on the Albuquerque market? You know, we're hearing more and more, the demand for Albuquerque come up. Could you just touch on maybe Albuquerque as a casino destination and a, you know, a traditional resort destination, you know, from outside of New Mexico?
Well, as far as the Albuquerque market, it's highly competitive. It's saturated with casinos. You know, we have 22 casinos just in our area. And it's a mature market. So it's a mature marketplace. We are a resort destination. I'm lucky at my particular property just because we have, you know, another satellite casino, a smaller casino, non-smoking casino. And then we have bowling and arcade and spa, restaurants, lakes, RV park, you know, that kind of thing, golf course. So that brings in more of the out-of-town guest, and with our hotel property. So we bring out-of-towners in that way. But like a lot of the casinos in Albuquerque, we also have a huge local clientele that, you know, that's our bread and butter.
Well, what do you think that mix is currently from, you know, when you look at kind of general population at the resort? Is it, you know, 80% of the revenue is localized, 20% out of state?
I would say most of our revenue still is, as far as quantity of guests, are local. But I would also say a lot of our higher-end guests are coming in from, you know, and I also say this about our competitors, that they're coming in from Texas and, say, southern Colorado.
Sure.
Because they have the higher incomes. And they're also spending the night, which – obviously, when we get them for an overnight stay or through the entire weekend, we get more dollars.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I work, you know, I work on more of the meeting side of the business, and it's interesting that we keep hearing Albuquerque, especially when it comes to just general resort and golf, is becoming more competitive with some of the, you know, the other markets, the Phoenix, Scottsdale, San Diego's of the West. So, good news for you guys.
I think Albuquerque too is so competitive just because of the terrain, also in the weather. That's why a lot of the movie industry is moving to New Mexico as well, because, you know, they have snow skiing right now up in the mountains, but you can literally come down from the mountains, ski during the day, and then come down and play golf, you know, and not have to wear a coat. Also, just because of the different landscaping, terrain, you know, you can get a big variety in a small space, I guess.
Yeah, I stayed with you guys, I think it's been a couple of years, but, you know, proximity to the airport, easy to get there. Yeah, it was a great experience. So, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call, and have a great night.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry, where were you out of?
Oh, I'm in Las Vegas.
Okay. Oh, Las Vegas? Okay.
I heard you guys got some snow.
What's that?
I heard you guys got some snow.
I'm up in Summerlin, and my 10 and 8-year-olds were outside playing in it last night. Didn't last long.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
We talked about that. We talked about when we've lived in cities and it snowed and the whole town shuts down because they don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's weird. My kids ski, but they see it in front of their house and they don't even know what to do, you know? So,
thanks, Mike. Have a good night.
Yeah, you guys have a great night. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Great question. All right. See what we got here. Some other people want to talk to you. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Jackie?
Hey, Tino, this is Nick Lossing. How are you?
Good, good. How are you, Nick?
Good. Well, hi, Jackie. I haven't met you, but I love this show, so I kind of tune in and ask a few questions. Hey, we've been noticing that there's been a lot of change in the marketing strategy with the change in dynamics of the millennials and different interests, you know, moving away from things like slot tournaments to 3D reality and things like golf inside the casino. I wonder if there's anything that you guys are currently doing or even focused on to the current change in dynamics of our customers.
You know, that's always a challenge, I think, for us and pretty much everyone in the marketplace, because trying to balance your programs to hit younger guests, the millennials, and still keep your bread and butter, your key, you know, the majority of our database happy. And so we're always trying new things, you know, and I think part of that is the whole resort experience. That's more appealing than just, say, the slot tournaments or coming in just for gaming only. You know, with our, we have a new, like, say we have a new 777's nightclub where they're coming in, or we might tie it in with a promotion or a holiday weekend. We'll see, depending on what activities we do and events, on what age demographic we're getting. And also the products, like you said, when you have some of the newer products, it draws in the younger crowd. And then how we advertise as well, you know, when we do a lot more digital to get the younger clientele.
It's a lot different than it was 5-10 years ago.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, right now a lot of the casinos are advertising on digital in a number of different formats, you know, whether they're targeting their competitors, and giving offers when they get to their competitors, you know, area, whether they're just trying to get people that are interested in whether it be gaming or entertainment, so they have ads pop up. I mean, it has changed the way we advertise and the way we do business.
Yeah, great. Changed a lot.
Hey, Tino, by the way, the snow was kind of a fraud. It never stuck to anything other than maybe the tops of cars.
Ah, okay, but I heard there was a lot of it, more than usual, in the air.
Well, up in Centennial Hills, I think they got maybe a quarter of an inch or half an hour until it melted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's something. Yeah. Nick, did you have another question for Jackie?
I don't, but...
Well, what are you doing currently for your millennials?
Well, I'm actually a practitioner on the labor management side. So we have customers all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of see some of the things that happen, and we have to understand the customer expectations to serve customers. But we noticed a lot of reduction in space and events, just like slot tournaments and some of the traditional type of marketing, and really moving towards putting in virtual reality type experiences and just how they market to those is, I haven't got my head around it yet.
Yeah,
like,
it's more like a video game almost.
Yeah. But a lot of the things that you're doing with trying to integrate the resort and sell the resort versus the gaming side from a marketing standpoint, I think that's really, really good and where most people are trying to move to, some faster than others.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks,
well, thank you.
Great. Great stuff. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Okay. Let's see who we have here. Hello. This is Tino Magneta. I have Jackie. Do you have a question for her?
Hey, Tino, how are you? This is Tej.
Tej, how are you, buddy? Good to hear you.
Doing well. A little bit, probably a little bit colder than you guys. Are you in L.A. currently or in Vegas this week?
Yeah. No, in L.A., yeah. It's a little colder.
In L.A. It is a little bit. Jackie, hi, how are you? my name's Tej. I'm calling from New York, so probably a little... A little further away than Tino, but it's been interesting. I've really enjoyed enjoyed hearing you speak today. I actually missed the first little bit, but it's definitely been great to learn about your experiences over there. We actually, so I represent a marketing company or platform in the gaming industry. But what was interesting to me is listening to, and it's kind of picking up on Nick's conversation over there about, you know, the changing demographic and the millennials and stuff. You know, I heard you mention that, you know, you guys and a lot of your sort of competitors are looking at digital marketing. You know, I'd love to learn more about, you know, as a marketer today, and especially in Albuquerque. Look, you know, I know every market's different. New York's different. You know, the Midwest's different, certainly, as is Southern California. But have you found as you kind of, you know, massage your database over there, are you finding, you know, how is your marketing mix in terms of your spend kind of shifted? Is direct mail still an important piece of a marketing channel for you guys, or are you doing more email now? Have you guys tried things with geofencing, for instance? You know, I mean, what sorts of channels, really, from a database marketing standpoint, are you finding are working well for you guys?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because still, and you know, I think it's important that marketing departments, or at least for us, is that we have a proper marketing mix. Frankly, we don't put all of our eggs into any one basket. I mean, we still do mass promotions, advertise, you know, do the advertising, we do entertainment, special events, player development, public relations, sponsorships, you know, pretty much everything that everyone does in casino marketing. We just, you know, have looked at that mix and how much we put where in. And I know some of the properties, say in Southern Colorado, they're doing 30% of their media is in digital, and we're just not there yet. You know, a lot of times, even our outdoor right now, outdoor is key in this market, just to direct people on what events are when and where to go. You know, a lot of times people will already be in the cart and they know they want to gamble. It just helps guide them to which place to gamble. So that's kind of the media mix. But of course, and I think most casinos are still this way, but database continues to be our primary focus. So we have, our information comes through our analytics, and those analytics pretty much drive every single thing we do in marketing.
Sure. So in a market like, you know, in the Albuquerque area, you know, it's interesting. I just happened to buy an article a few months ago, and it just kind of reminded me of it. You know, I've heard that, you know, there's definitely been and I think there's certainly amongst the population, there is some exodus, and, you know, the growth in that market hasn't been that big. Just kind of as a follow-on to that, you know, how are you building and maintaining that database? And is, you know, do you find yourself, you know, overlapping? I mean, is offer-based sort of free play, and are those typically the main methods you guys use, or are there other techniques that you found that are useful as well?
Well, you know, everybody loves free play, but you know that, but it's hard not to, but we try to always, you know, really monitor what we're giving to the guest and what that net is, you know, so we're not over investing in any particular segment, because that's really key. I mean, I think you can do that. You can get in these bidding wars, whether it be with free play or entertainment. And I think you got to be careful about that, because there's a point in time you just need to say enough's enough, and this is what we can do at our property. And that's what I think is always a challenge to keep on, because like in this marketplace, you said it, it's a mature marketplace. And frankly, I'm surprised about how many new members we get a month. We get a lot of new members every month, but the challenge is, yeah, we do. You can get them to sign up for a card, but they might just be passing through. So really that challenge is getting him back for the third, fourth, fifth trip. That's the challenge. I was shocked about how many new members most of the casinos can get per month here. But the hard part is getting them to come back and to continue that and build into that loyalty phase, you know, of your database programs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, we've certainly been hearing a lot about that sort of that first 30-day sort of loyalization imperative, you know, once they've come in and they've signed up for that Players Club card, being able to message them effectively in that first few weeks, you know, whether it's, you know, email, SMS, direct mail, whatever, trying to get that, keep that attention going is, I think key. But that's terrific. Thanks so much for your feedback. And, Tino, hope you enjoy some of that sunshine. I hear it's raining a little bit down there, though, so I don't feel... You know,
it is, and it's kind of cold, too, so... But, you know, we have the crisp cold days are interspersed with some beautiful sunshine, so, I mean, you can't complain.
There's
nothing to complain about.
All right. Thanks,
Tino.
Good to hear you, buddy.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tino, I don't think anyone's feeling sorry for you with the weather.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, that's one thing about California. It's a justification for the high taxes that they charge here. So you want good weather, you got to pay high taxes. So.
Yeah, that sunshine tax, huh?
Just straight up. All right. Let me see here. I think we got time for one more. What a great show. This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Jackie?
Aloha, Tino. Mike Ka'ahanui. How you doing, Jackie?
Mike, how are you, buddy? Good to hear you.
Good, thank you. Good. Yeah, I've been listening to the show. Great show, by the way, so far. I really like all your answers and kind of, you know, some of the history and that you've been going through, Jackie. I just got a couple questions, if you don't mind.
Okay.
What do you think the next evolution in your market is specifically for Albuquerque, and you know, where are you trying to focus that next leap? And then, in general, for our industry, where do you think that next leap will be?
And you said, where's the next market segment? Is that what you were saying? I'm sorry.
Well, for your particular market, so you're the Albuquerque market. So you, where do you think that next evolution is for your specific market, and then for the casino industry as a whole?
Well, I think with our specific market is just, you know, it's always a fight to get that piece of the pie, the bigger piece of the pie. And I also think for the Albuquerque market is just to expand, meaning get more of those out-of-town guests, get more people in from the surrounding states. And that's always a challenge. And I think by having more offerings, whether that be the resorts, whether that be more entertainment, but getting more people from outside the market to come in and actually experience the product and experience Albuquerque, that's always a challenge. And that's something we're going to always continue to work on. And I think another challenge with that is, okay, how much do I spend trying to get people from those markets to come in, whether that be in player development or advertising? Because you know there are untapped areas, and how much of your marketing dollars do you put towards that to get those, you know, a return on investment?
Well, certainly it's that old adage. My old boss used to tell me, "Hey, it's we know 50% of the advertising works. We just don't know which 50, right?" So
yeah,
sometimes that's a true statement, right? So that's
right.
That's a good point. So I mean, in that token, are you able to kind of monitor, or what things can you do to monitor the different channels that you are spending money in to communicate so that you can see if you're getting that return on investment?
Well, again, I kind of point back to analytics. I mean, we look at when we do new programs, and I'm sure, you know, like everyone does, is we really try and take all the analytics and put it towards, you know, whatever particular program we have. Now, what's challenging here, and I think for a lot of casinos, is that we have layering. You know, it'd be different if you just had one program going on and you could measure that. But when you have different programs and you have advertising, you have different promotions going on, and you have different mailers and you have direct mail promotions going on, I think that's where the challenge is a lot of times, okay, how much of that gaming dollar or resort dollar do I put, you know, do I attribute to each of those things? And, you know, a lot of times the answer is they came for all of it. They came because they had the best direct mail offer and you gave them something on a holiday weekend and they loved the concert that happened to be playing as well. And so I think that's the challenging part.
Always, where part of the art and the science comes through. Hey, you know, you've been doing it, for a while now. And so, you know, my experience with meeting people that have been doing it for a while, everyone develops some pet peeves. What are some of your pet peeves when you walk into a new property and you try to make sure that those don't occur, or make sure you communicate that, you know, these are your pet peeves and why they are? Because usually they come out of good business reasons.
Pet peeves. Personal or in a market? I guess personal pet peeves would be being micromanaged, you know, like micromanaged and not ever trying new things. I hate when people say, oh, you know, we can't do that here. We, you know, they're just really reluctant to change, because I think that's, sometimes you know, if you want, you have to take chances every now and then. If you want a different result, you've got to try something new. And that's, I guess, as far as a pet peeve might be, is properties that are resistant to change. But they want to make more and more
true.
Money
every
year.
The one thing we know, that change is constant, right?
Right, but you know what I mean? So some properties, it's like, oh, my gosh, well, if you want to do everything exactly the same way and you want to make more revenue, you know, we've got to look at either improving or changing something. So to me, that's kind of
very true.
The challenge.
No, well stated. That's very true. What are your, you know, we all have had the, you know, opportunity to build a team, and – you know, sometimes those aren't immediately in-house, so you're out there interviewing. And so what are some of your favorite interview questions to kind of determine if this person is going to be a good feel for you? What's your style of interview?
Well, right now at this property, we do panel interviews so we can get the other people's opinion to also look at that guest, that candidate. And there are some key things to see if you think they're going to fit, because a lot of times it's kind of like I kind of look at it like a player in a football team. Not everybody's a good fit for your team. They may be really good at the game, but if they're not going to fit in with your team, it might not be the best choice for you. And I, as far as questions go, one of the fun questions that we ask is, you know, have you ever had a challenge with a supervisor? This is more of a line level question, but have you ever had a challenge with a supervisor or a coworker? And, you know, how did you work through that? And boy, I've heard some interesting answers.
I can imagine.
As far as interview questions, that's like one of my favorites, just because you never know what they're going to say.
Is there a favorite story you like to tell just about the business in general? A lot of people don't understand kind of all the hard work that goes into making it look so fun. What are some of the stories that you like to tell people?
Stories. Oh, there's so many in gaming. Oh, my gosh. I think I got some of them we should talk about. But
I guess the PG version of the story. Yeah,
PG version. I think I got my first casino in Deadwood, and I was getting ready for my first player party, and the casino looked gorgeous. You know, I had, there were top hats, and there were roses, and there were pearls on the table, and it looked so pretty. And I remember opening up the line, and my very first VIP guest grabbed one of those top hats, filled it full of chips, and poured Bacanti all over it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, okay, you know, that got me realizing that this was going to be a little bit different than I thought. But, it was fun, you know, and I guess I could, there's so many fun stories because I think in gaming, it attracts really interesting people, you know, and
yeah.
you get to meet a lot of interesting people.
All sorts. Yeah.
All sorts, yeah, and people that have very distinct personalities, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's,
memorable.
That's the best part about the business. It's never the same. It might be a similar problem, but it's always a little different depending on
who. Never the same. Yeah.
Never the same.
Hey, great, Mike.
It's been great. I appreciate the time. You know, great answers, and I'm sure I'll bump into you one of these days, Jackie. Yeah, you have a good one.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a good night.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mike.
Aloha.
Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, I think we got one more here.
Hello?
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Jackie?
Hello?
Yes. Do you
are
have
we
a question
on?
For Jackie?
Yeah,
we
hi,
are.
How are you doing?
Live.
This is Good. This is Harry Hittery from Comp Trading.
Nice to hear you, Harry. How are you? Good.
Hi, Harry.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
This is actually my first time on this show. So
good.
I'm excited to be on it. Very interesting. A lot of different callers. Great stories. Kind of like a follow-up from the ravings, all the stories and all the combos and everything like that. It was good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Jackie, I'm sorry about that wine spill on your shirt the other night.
Yeah, I recovered.
Yeah, okay, good.
I just want to clarify, I wasn't drinking any wine. It was the other people that spilled. On
That's great.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, for sure, no
of
problem.
Of course.
So, okay, so anyways, so I'm in the gift giveaway business, right? For products, we specialize in continuities and all that. I wanted to ask you what advice you would give to my sales team when communicating with the operator. We know how to communicate with our vendors. We know how to communicate in terms of business, product, pricing, logistics, all that stuff, but when it comes to your end, what do you appreciate from a vendor, besides for just his product or just his service, to know, to understand?
Okay. Especially with these continuity programs, because in a lot of markets like ours, they've been going on for years. So personally, the things that I really appreciate is new ideas. Coming to the table with new giveaways, new products as they come out, what's working well in retail at the time, because instead of presenting the same old, you know, pot and pan set or blanket every single year and saying, oh, that's our top gift, because a lot of these people in mature markets have those products. They've been around for a long time. They're looking for something new that will draw people in. So that's one of the things I would say is, you know, new ideas. The other things I would say is really to keep, you know, help keep that budget in mind. What can we do to get the most bang for our buck? You know,
right.
Of course, one of the items is going to be a little bit nicer than all of them. We know that.
Right.
And then I would say the third, you know, one of the other things is being very consistent, making sure your product comes in on time, making sure that it's shipped correctly. And also that the product is quality and not just rushed through, you know. And when we get it, it's not a bait and switch. It isn't this really good, say, Teflon pan, and we get it, and it's peeling because it isn't the product that we had approved, you know.
Right.
So I think those are the things we really, really look for. And then because it is getting more I think most casinos have more regulation on them. And so they have a bidding process that you have to go through. And you might have to get a gaming badge and you know, work with our purchasing departments. But I do think if you're willing to do all that, there is good business to be had with casinos, because gifts, as you know, are really, I mean, behind free play, they love those gifts, and it keeps them coming back steadily every week. It's like a guaranteed day that you know is going to be successful in the casino.
Thank you. I definitely get all that. I mean, that's something that I think we for sure understand. We've been in business a while in terms of those, you know, things like quality and things like working with the purchasing and all that stuff, like with the licensing and the tribe and all that. But I would say
the
also, you know, it's funny. Huh?
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I said it's funny you mentioned. I think the difference between free play and the continuity is that, like you said before, you wanted to bring the person not once, but two, three, four throughout the year. And I think when I get a mail, you know, it says free play $10 or free play $25, it's not part of anything. It's just, can you come and hear some money, you know?
Right.
And, you know, the answer is really either yes or no. But I think when it comes to the gift, the continuity, it's more of a experience. I think it's more of a series, right? So, you know,
right.
you get a mailer for series one, for the series, and then you have week one, week two, week three, week four, you know? And people feel
mm-hmm.
like, you know, they like to show off also. Like, I got all three, or I got four, or I only got two, you know? They have, like, a competition with their friends in the casino.
Sure.
So,
oh, yeah. Yeah,
you
and
know?
Then, God forbid, you know, one of their friends don't get invited, then they're
right.
really showing
yeah.
off that, you know, I got the postcard, or I got the newest
yeah.
crock pot, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Harry, thanks
exactly.
a lot. Really appreciate you calling in.
No
we're
problem.
Running out of time
so
here, unfortunately.
I'm sorry I stayed over.
That's okay,
the
man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
All right, enjoy.
Don't worry about it.
Thanks,
all right,
Jackie.
Thanks. Bye.
Yep, thank you.
Well, Jackie, it's been an incredible interview. Thanks for coming on. It was absolutely fantastic. A lot of good callers and questions, and we hope to have you on the show again soon.
Oh, thank you, Tino. I really had a good time. Thank you, and a lot of
great
callers.
So did we.
Yeah, I had fun.
Yeah, a lot
thank
of great
you.
Callers. Good. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a good night.
You have a good night. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was great. I got a great lineup in the next couple of months, but this week I've got Ray Pinot from Mohican Sun. He's the GM, and he's just an extraordinary person. I can't wait to interview him. It's Thursday at 5:30. You guys know the time. 5:30, 6:30, and remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen. Have a great night, and God bless.